Good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to be finishing out Romans chapter 10 this morning. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. We're going to start at verse 14. Now, just all in this single chapter, we've talked about multiple things, and so if you guys know me, one of the things I love,
like, hey, give it to me practical. Give me something I can walk away with and actually do something. Because sometimes we get stuck in this theory and theology mindset. You guys, I geek out some. Hunter probably more so than me on the theological side. And at the end of the day, you can have all the theology in the world, and if you don't know what to do, what's the point? Right? At the end of the day, don't we want to know, like, what should our response be? Because in chapter 10, we've gone through some meaty things. In chapter 9 as well, talking about the sovereignty of God. And then at the beginning of chapter 10, we talked last week about this kind of a response. And it's our ability to take this information and understand we have something to do here. And it requires faith. But have you ever wondered, it's like, now I believe, I have faith in this guy named Jesus, that he is enough and that he is the reason that I'm here. But now what? I think too many times we leave ourselves at this place of hanging. And you know, one of the things that I've learned taking more time away from work is I could fill it up with nothingness, right? I could sit around and not do anything. But the reality is, it's like I've got things that I'd like to do, want to do. So I've got this list of things I really want to do, right? But I have to get through this list of things I really don't want to do to get to the things that I really want to do. Is anybody else like that? I'm still on the first list. So I haven't gone fishing yet this year. But the reality is, so oftentimes in our lives, and it comes to our faith, we get in this process of, okay, God, I believe you are who you say you are. Okay, Jesus, I believe you, that you were born into this life, and as the Hebrew writer would say, that you have come down to sympathize with our weaknesses, that you've been tempted and tested in every way yet without sin. I can get behind all of that, and there's probably no one in here that theologically disagrees with that. But the reality is, at some point in time, we have to turn our theology into some kind of practical application. Because without that, there's a stagnancy. You know, I've heard this statistic in my life. A lot of people who interject into work life so much, and they retire, and then they don't last long after they retire. Because it's like the purpose is gone. You spent your whole life. I've spent my whole life working. Anybody out there like that? If you're under 30, don't even raise your hand. Yeah, that doesn't count. You can't count if you're under 30, right? But you spend your whole life working, and then you get to the end of that work, and it's like, I don't even know what to do anymore. And purpose sometimes is lost. And I think sometimes we as Christians, we get that way in our faith. It's like, theologically, I understand all these things. I gave my life to Christ, and so now I'm like, I'm in. And we just kind of move on with our existence, not giving much attention or time to what God has called us to do. And what I love about Paul is he's fixing to lay out something. Now what? Kind of this now what? And this now what affects and influences all of us. Starting in verse 14, it says, How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed, and what has he heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses said, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation I will make you angry. Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. But Israel, he says, all day long I've held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. I want you to hear some of this message that Paul is giving. He's reflecting again into this Jewish mindset, because they ushered in the Messiah and they felt like, man, if we get this guy on the stage, we can wipe our hands clean. We've done our job. Yeah, but throughout the, I mean, you can't, man, I want to challenge y'all to spend some time in the Old Testament, because you can't fully appreciate some of what the prophets talked about and some of what Jesus talks about unless you have a fairly good understanding of what's happening in the Old Testament. But what I want you to hear is that God has been reaching out to his people over and over and over, and they've been rejecting him and rebelling against him to the point where he's seeking people elsewhere. Guess what? That's good for you, because you're Gentiles. And the rejection of the Jews brought God and Christ to the Gentiles. It gave us an opportunity because we weren't seeking him, but yet we found him. But I want you to hear that there's a practical application that Paul is trying to address here. He's saying, we have a responsibility. Did y'all catch that? We have a responsibility. And in these words, you're going to find your place. Is anybody in here, Aaron? How about you, man? I heard you did a good job on class this morning. Anybody in here want to preach? Got some head shakers. Not nodder shakers. I think we get so intimidated. We get so intimidated because we don't know what to say. We don't know how to say it. We don't know what we should do. We don't... This sermon this morning, I genuinely want you guys to understand that it's just super practical. I'm calling each of you to be a preacher. Now, if I gave you an opportunity to leave, would you right now? And be like, ooh, I'm going to sneak you out the back. I'm just using the restroom, Kevin. I can see that back door. Don't you worry. Man, we get nervous, don't we? Who gets nervous if I say I'm calling you guys all to be preachers? Got one honest person back there. Man, I don't know about that, standing in front of people and talking about something that I don't always understand myself. And is this sounding familiar? Like, we get hesitant because we don't feel like we always know. But there's more than just preaching here. There's people who sin. And we have a responsibility as a congregation. What's our responsibility as a congregation? I've tried to tell people over and over in the years, when somebody wants to know something about Jesus or what makes you different, you're the best ambassador I know for Christ. Because we should be living different. We should be living a different kind of life. And that life should be attractive. That life should be something where people scratch their head and go, why are you different? Why is it that when hardship or opposition comes my way, why is it that you seem to be handling it different than I do? And so many times it's like, man, we were taught this when we were young. Or at least when I was young, we were taught all the steps of salvation and where to find them in the verses. And at the front of your Bible, you had it all laid out, right? Where if somebody asked you about Jesus, you could say, hey, get your Bible. I have this plan. Anybody ever done that before or seen that before? It's like, I've got all these verses. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear it. We've so trained our minds to say, man, take them here, take them to this verse so they can see Jesus here. And take them to this verse and say, so they can see Jesus here. And take them to this verse so they can see Jesus here. Take them to this verse so that they know now that they've seen Jesus what they should do. It's the process, right? No, they asked you about Jesus. They asked you, why are you different? I took a class. How long have we been married, Lamb? 30. Carry the one. Be 31 years next month. So 30 years ago, I took a class with a bunch of guys in Lubbock, Texas. A Dale Carnegie class. It was for public speaking, and it was kind of around the business model, if you will. And in that, every day I had to get up and talk every week. We met once a week. You'd have to get up and address the class from a public position. Does that scare anybody? Doing that, y'all need to take the Dale Carnegie class, then you wouldn't be scared anymore. But the first topic, and I, at this point in my life, it didn't bother me. So this part was the easy part for me. But I found it fascinating that the first topic in the Dale Carnegie class for public speaking, you know what it was? Yourself. Tell them about yourself. That makes sense. There's nobody that knows me better than who? Me. I'm an expert on me. Matter of fact, I know me better than any of y'all know me. So I can talk on that. You know what's fascinating? When people typically ask you, why are you different? Or, hey, you're a friend. I'm struggling with this. Why is it that we just want to go, man, Kevin was telling me that I could look over here in Matthew chapter 12 and read this and it'll all go well. No, they want to know, what's Jesus done for you? The best way to talk to people about Jesus is your own testimony. Do y'all remember what it felt like to be hopeless? Do y'all remember what it felt like to be out of His hand? Do you also remember what it felt like to be in it? To be rescued? That's what they want to know. There'll be time to spend in the Bible, but what they really want to know is, if you claim He's so great, what did He do for you? He rescued me. From what? Everything. Paul says to the church in Galatia, I'm astonished, shocked at how quickly you're deserting the one who rescued you. Because if you've been rescued in life, you remember the rescuer, don't you? I used to tell a story about Scott Tubb, friend of ours from Northside Church of Christ. He and his family, he and Mary, and I think Mary's sister, were driving to Pagosa Springs to watch their youngest daughter play a volleyball game. They were coming home from Pagosa Springs, and they're going around this turn, and they see this rock kind of in the middle of the road. And they're like, man, what's that? That's kind of just out of place. It was dark. And Scott just got this super uneasy feeling, so he stopped. Pulled off the side of the road and was using the light on his cell phone and sees a car off down in the bottom of this ravine. And he's kind of trying to get his way down to the car. And he gets his way down to the car, can't see very well. He's reaching in the car. The car's still warm, but he can't feel anybody. And goes around to the other side, and he's reaching around. He can't feel anybody. And so he's like, man, I don't know what happened, but there's clearly nobody in the car. He starts walking back up the ravine, back to the highway. And as he's walking, somebody reaches and grabs his leg and says, help me. Woo! I don't know about y'all, but I'd freak out, right? Fortunately, Mary's sister was a nurse, and they rescued that young lady. They saved her. And for years, that young lady and her family maintained a relationship with the Tubbs. Why? Because they rescued their daughter. We understand that. That makes sense to us, doesn't it? It makes sense that they would maintain, because out of deep appreciation, they would maintain this type of relationship with this family, because this family did something that was so amazing for their family. Listen, if you believe Jesus rescued you, why aren't we talking about it? Let me say that again. If you believe Jesus rescued you, why aren't we talking about it? Any of y'all have friends that aren't here? Two people. Man, y'all have small circles. The best place to start. Start telling them. We were called to carry out the good news. When y'all get good news in your life, you just go, man, that's awesome. Or do you start calling people? Tell them. Reaching out to people you know. And going, hey, you ain't gonna believe what just happened. I won the lottery. If you won the lottery tomorrow, and I know, right? No gambling, you can't do that. But if you won the lottery tomorrow, would you call and tell anybody? Chloe's like, nope. When good things happen, right? We want to share that. When your son was born, did you tell people? You were fired up, right? Scared to death, but fired up. And so you tell people because it's amazing. It's incredible news. It blesses my life. But for some reason, when it gets to this Jesus thing, we go mute. Because we're uncomfortable. We don't always know the right thing to say. Where do I go in Scripture? Just tell people what He did for you. Are you an expert on that story? Do you know how lost you were? Do you know the feeling that you had when Jesus rescued you? That's what they want to know. This is the greatest news that you will ever hear in your entire life. Don't sit on it. Man, it's fun having y'all up here. It balances it out. I'm telling you, man. It's like in stereo now. Normally I'm just getting it from over here. But man, I'm loving this. Thank y'all for letting them sit with y'all this morning. Because it's like, whoo, I got it both sides now. And I'm loving it. Sorry, that was a commercial break. But what I want you to see is what Paul is saying. Is he's saying, listen, we need to be speaking of what we believe. We need to be speaking of the good news of Jesus. And then if you find yourself where you just have spoken out, start sending people. This congregation has a purpose. It's not to sit on the truth. It's not to, once 10:30 comes, lock the back door or front door. I don't know. It's confusing from here. And not let anybody in. We've got to send people out. People are intimidated in church buildings. Y'all get that? When people, I have the luxury of seeing it from here oftentimes. From here oftentimes people come in, they're like, man, I wish I could be anywhere else but here. They're intimidated. Read a book 25 years ago by Philip Yancey called What's So Amazing About Grace. And in the opening chapter of that book, he's talking about a woman that came to him to seek help. She was a prostitute, was trying to get out of prostitution, and she came to him seeking help. And he said, have you gone to the church? And she said, why would I do that? I already feel bad enough as it is. That resonate a little bit. We're all in here this morning. Just a bunch of people who've fallen short, but who know a Redeemer who can set you free. Paul's saying, don't allow this faith thing that we've been talking about. Don't allow the sovereignty of who God is. Don't allow our response to who God is. Don't allow that to all stop there. There's more. What's more? It's putting your feet to work, putting your mouth to work, and proclaiming the good news of Jesus. It doesn't have to be professional. It doesn't have to be theological. Tell them what He's done for you, how He's rescued you. Keep it simple. Get them to understand who Jesus is so that they want. You know, in the class that I'm teaching with Colt, Madeline, and Abby, boy, they're a tough crowd. I'm telling you, y'all are way easier than those three. But I'm trying to get them to fall in love with the Word of God. But it's really hard to fall in love with the Word of God if you're not first in love with Jesus. So why is it when we're talking to somebody who's outside of the blood of Christ, Why is it so quickly we're going to the Word of God, hoping it will solve their problems, instead of communicating what God's done for me so that they know there's a problem solver out there? I came that none shall perish but have eternal life to the fullest. But all of us have a role in that. His plan of salvation isn't dependent on you, but He needs you to speak. Even when an angel came, I think it was Cornelius, even when an angel came to Cornelius, he didn't reveal the gospel. He said, I'll send Peter to you to preach the gospel message. We have a role in this life. And it's not to be highly theological. It's to proclaim the first and most important thing. That's the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus. Even in the midst of your failures, even in the midst of your sinfulness, even in the midst of your shame, Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. You are loved. In the midst of your agony, in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of your hardship, you are loved. Isn't that what you want people around you who don't know Jesus to know? That in the midst of their struggle, their pain, their sinfulness, that they're loved. People are drawn towards love. This morning I want to challenge you with that. It's a simple message, but simple to hear and hard sometimes to do. How are they to preach unless they are sent? I want y'all to know this morning, you've been sent. You have been sent. So tell people about the love of Jesus. Tell them about your rescue so that they know that there's a rescuer out there for them. This morning I want to challenge y'all with that message as Hunter leads us in an invitation.